the singing. Brother Chuck, good job leading the singing. And I have a built-in microphone, and I get around little children, I got to turn it down a couple thousand watts or whatever that is, you know. But I've got a good singing, great song leader, and sings out. I love it. And it's been great. This whole time has just been wonderful to be here. Is this microphone on? Can y'all hear me? Yeah, they want to turn it off. You know? And boy, I remember when I was a teenager growing up in New York, they started a choir in our little church, and I was able to sing in the choir. Well, little did I realize that every teenager was allowed to be in the choir. I thought I was special and had some kind of singing voice, and everybody had a microphone. And here we were in Long Island, New York. We were, you know, and everybody had a microphone. Now listen, you're not going to believe this. Everybody's microphone worked except for mine. True story. Let me fast forward about 20 years later. I was pastoring in North Carolina, and I said to the men, I said, we got to have a men's quartet in our church. How many of y'all like men's quartet? How many of y'all like singing like that? That's good stuff, right? I said, we need to have a men's quartet, and I'm going to sing bass. You say, why'd you make that? I'm the pastor. I can do what I want. And I said, if it's okay, fellas, well, what are they going to say, you know? So we did a men's quartet, and how many of you know that song, He Is Mine? You know, He Is Mine, He Is Mine. You know, I'm not going to do it right now. I don't want to chase you out of the building here. And man, all four of us had a microphone. We're about to sing, and you're not going to believe this. You already know where I'm going, don't you? My microphone didn't work. And I've been fighting bitterness ever since. So is this microphone working? We'll get in the Word of God. I'm just going to say one more thing to you. Let's just kind of level the playing field right now, all right? Everybody, I want to make this very clear to you. Okay, even though I'm from New York, I was not in the mafia, all right? Let's just level the playing field right now, all right? And I was in Texas, and I thought, man, somebody said, you know, when you walked in, you reminded me of somebody. I thought they named some famous preacher or something, and they said, you remind me of this guy, Rudy Giuliani. Do you know that guy? And I said, I don't even know who that is. Probably some crooked lawyer or something. I don't know, you know? And I thought, good night. I thought I would say somebody, you know, like Oliver B. Green or some famous man of God or something. And then this one guy in the same church, this one guy walked up and he said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a guy on the radio. You remind me of him. And I thought, you know, Oliver B. Green's been on the radio. I don't know if you heard of that preacher. And he said, this guy, you ever heard of him? His name is Wolfman Jack. And I said, who in the world is that? You know, I don't know where these people come up with this stuff. I don't know those names. Just for the record, I don't know who they are. But let's level the playing field, all right? No Wolfman Jack, no Rudy Giuliani. And what was the other guy I said? I forget the other one. But anyway, what is it? The Mafia, yeah, the other guy. The Mafia. John chapter 16. Let's read this one verse. Let's read this out loud together. Let's try to do this in unison if we can together, church, okay? John chapter 16, we'll start in just a moment. We're going to read verse 33, and then we're gonna tie in several of the times. We're going to tie in the Sunday school lesson this morning and allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning. And John chapter 16, let's do verse 33 out loud together, please. Church, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I'm going to suspect most of you are very familiar with that statement in the Bible, where Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just encouraging us just to act happy. And you know, I say this so often when I don't want anybody, especially if you wouldn't know me, let's just make something very clear. There's no better word than the word that's in God's word. Are y'all with me on that? But at the same time, let's do word studies and let's study so that we understand what a word means. For example, the Bible says our God is a terrible God. Now, how many of you, when you hear a parent talk about their child at 2 years old and they're saying they're going through the terrible twos, how many of you think they're saying something nice about them? That wasn't a trick question, okay? And my wife and I used to joke and call it the terrific twos. And that's called liar, liar, pants on fire, all right? But, you know, the reality is God, the Bible says God is a terrible God. So let's do word studies so we understand what God says. And there's never a contradiction ever in God's word, right? But Jesus made this statement. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this before. I'm going to take you to a couple different places where Jesus made this statement, be of good cheer. And can I use our modern lingo? If my sons were here right now, they'd be so proud of me to use the word hashtag. And it's not in the Bible, all right? But Interestingly enough, when you look at several different times in the Gospels, when Jesus made the statement, be of good cheer, there's a different hashtag with the different times. One of them is found right here in John 16 and verse 33, and this will be our last one that we'll look at. In considering the thought of be of good cheer. Church, the word cheer, again, the best word is the word that's there, but that word cheer means courage. Means courage. Now again, I'm not saying there's a better word. There's never a better word than God's word. But the word cheer, Jesus would never encourage us, let's just all laugh and act like we're happy even though things are bad. Jesus, we don't need to, I can't stand the statement, fake it till you make it. You ever heard somebody say that before? Well, just fake it till you make it. That's a bunch of hogwash. Again, that's a Bible word, you got to look it up later too, okay? That's a bunch of hogwash. You don't have to fake anything.
Right.
You can be real and have courage even though your circumstances say otherwise.
Right.
It's all through the Bible. I mean, it's all through God's word where somebody, their circumstances would have said the polar opposite, otherwise known as, aka Joseph in the Old Testament, David in the Old Testament, Job in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament. We can go on and on in God's word where everything about circumstances seemed the opposite, but yet you find somebody that's got confidence in Christ. Stephen, while he's preaching Christ in Acts chapter 7, things didn't look very good, but he kept on preaching Christ. And by the way, it never affected his spirit. As he kept preaching and they were stoning him with stones because he was preaching the word of God. You and I will never win a popularity contest by preaching the truth of God's word. We're not going to win it preaching. We're not here to win a popularity contest. I will answer to my God one day in how I preach his precious, perfect word. That's a huge responsibility. But Stephen kept on preaching, and toward the end he said, lay not this sin to their charge. He never let it change and affect his spirit. He kept on going. And so Jesus made the statement, be of good cheer. Tharseo, it's the Greek word, tharseo. It means courage. Take courage. Take courage. We talked this morning, we're going to look at one of the passages that speak about this, one of the hashtags that remind us of the matter of our fears. That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Be of good cheer. Let's pray together. Father, we pray you'd bless, Lord, the remainder of this service. Lord, we've sang, we've fellowshiped, we've read a missionary prayer letter. Thank you for those that are serving in the Ukraine. Wow, Lord, we've just become so... And the initial alarm of war, Lord, just seems to rattle a Christian for a couple months, and just shortly thereafter, Lord, it's almost like an afterthought. Lord, shame on us. Lord, thank you for this dear lady reading this letter and keeping us abreast on these missionaries and the tragedy of those 20-something souls and wondering how many of them went to heaven and how many went to hell. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this church, and I thank you, Lord. My heart's already been filled with fellowship. Just some wonderful people that love you this morning. But Lord, we are not here to impress each other. We are here to be impressed by you. We need you to speak to us. Lord, we don't know how much we need you this week. Lord, we're thankful that our salvation is settled as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. It's settled. It's done. Because you're a perfect God and you always keep your word. But Lord, while we're journeying here, Lord, it seems like we're getting beat up more than we're being blessed. It seems like, Lord, sometimes, Lord, we're more overwhelmed than we are willing to embrace the altogether lovely one. And I pray, God, you'd encourage, refresh, just revive a church this morning. It's already here, Lord. There's a great spirit. Lord, this is not a dead, depressing service this morning. We pray that thy spirit would lift us to the heavenlies this morning with thy word, and that thou wouldst give us something that, Lord, when we come back down to the valley this week in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, that we would still shine the Lord Jesus Christ and take that courage with us, Lord. Some here this morning will have to stand against opposition in the home. Some will have to stand against opposition in the workplace. They're going to have to take courage. And Lord, we know the answer is not to hide in a corner or in a basement, but Lord, to lovingly, with the love of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, to stand for truth. Help us to be more faithful this week. Help us, Lord, to be more determined. May we make that commitment in our hearts, and may we come to the next Sunday we come together, Lord, and rejoice that by your grace, Lord, you've given us victories. And Lord, you have blessed us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned to you, there's several different times, and by the way, it's also found in the book of Acts, where that word, where the statement is made, be of good cheer. And I want to take you to three different times that the statement is made, and hopes that you get something to be an encouragement to you along these lines. I want you to go first to, go to Matthew chapter 9. So we're going to finish with John chapter 16 and verse 33, the text that we read to start this morning. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. This is one of the examples of where Jesus made the statement, and in our English Bibles, of course, where we find it saying, be of good cheer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And the Bible says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith. By the way, don't you love that in the Bible? Jesus did something for this man because he saw the faith of somebody else. That's a powerful thought right there. It's not the message this morning, but that's a powerful thought. The Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Here's the hashtag, church. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Can I encourage you, church, this morning to take courage and don't let your past squelch your courage? Amen. Don't let your past squelch your courage. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, if there's something in our lives this morning, whether it's something that we haven't even, our salvation's not been taken care of, then that must needs be dealt with. And when you come to Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life, and I understand it's important to know the gospel message of the fact that what we deserve because of our sin, we're condemned to a place called hell. Jesus paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He rose from the dead. And what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection was the full payment for our sins. And when you come to the place where you trust Christ alone, he gives you salvation. Listen, it's taken care of. I would say this though again, but if not, if there's some things even after salvation that we have not made right with the Lord. Did you spend time with the Lord this morning and ask him to forgive you for some things? Maybe that you thought or you did you shouldn't have done, or something you should have done that you, I don't know, if I think I got that backwards. I think I said the same thing two different ways there. But be sure you keep short accounts. But can I just encourage you to remember, listen, take courage that your past is behind you. Can I say to you this morning, there's only one way. I heard this years ago and I've never forgotten it. There's only one way you can change your past. Are you ready? Here it is. Change what you do today, because tomorrow, today will be your past. Did you get that? Some of you, are you awake yet? It's the mafia guy. All right? You know, did you get that? There's no way you can change your past. The only thing you can do is change what you do today, because tomorrow, today will be your past. And I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you, it's even true here in Coeur d'Alene, in this area in Idaho, and in Washington. There are people that are sitting at home, and I'm not condemning them, but they're sitting at home, they're discouraged because they're allowing their past to come back and haunt them. Don't go back there. Are you listening? Don't go back there. Don't let your past squelch your courage. I am so glad we have a forgiving God.
Amen.
Talking to Brother Dak, right? Is it Brother Dak, I think?
Yep.
Got your name, sir?
Yeah.
And we were just talking before Sunday school about, man, everybody that say, every Christian ought to revel in the grace of God in your life.
Amen.
I don't care if you got saved at 8 years old, you got saved in the nursery, amen?
Yeah.
You probably beat that kid up in the nursery, and you should ask God to forgive you for that too, amen? But, you know, boy, you listen, anybody that's been saved, you ought to be, there. Every bit of your fiber ought to say, listen, I'm nothing but, what I am is by the grace of God. Paul said that over and over again. Listen, it's only the grace of God. Where sin doth abound, grace doth what? Much more abound. Don't let your past squelch your courage. Are you listening to me? Listen, I understand it comes a knocking on the door. And listen, just close the door, lock it, throw the key away, and just remind yourself that God has promised, he has thrown, you understand this about God? You know, the Bible says that God forgives, and people say God forgives and God forgets. That's not true. You know what the truth is God chooses not to remember. You know what that means? God never brings it up again. Do you understand the difference to that? You ever heard somebody say, God forgives and God forgets? You ever heard somebody, if you bought a bumper sticker like that, sue that company, and you'll make a lot of money, amen? Because that's not Bible. It's not that he forgets, he chooses not to. Thy sins I will remember no more. He don't bring it up again. Do you revel in that? Aren't you thankful for that? Because I'm telling you, our past and our sins will rob us of our courage. Well, if I do something might happen. Something might happen anytime, we don't know. What we do know is that is behind us. Amen. This is a beautiful statement in the Old Testament. Before you, it's prophetic. I'm not taking it out of context. In the book of Joel, before you lies a Garden of Eden, behind you a desolate wilderness. Look that up sometimes. And there's a prophetic interpretation of that, but there is an awesome application for the New Testament church. George, watch this. Before you lies a Garden of Eden. Behind you, a desolate wilderness. Did you get that? Don't let your past squelch your courage. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, please, if you would. We're talking about this idea of being of good cheer. These are the words of Christ, amen? This is not these preachers' words. This is the words of Christ. Mark chapter 6, hashtag number 2, amen? Mark chapter 6 and verse 50. And I understand we're picking it up in the story here in the context of them being on a boat here. For they all saw him in verse 50 and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. Here it is, hashtag, it is I, be not afraid.
Amen.
This is a different statement he makes after the be of good cheer. Don't let your paranoias, don't let your fears sway your courage. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, about fears. There are paranoias about everything. Phobias. I have a long list. I don't have time to share them now because preacher said I got to be done by 1:30.
Yep.
Some of you haven't smiled yet. It's going to be a long day.
New York time?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I should have been done 3 hours ago. I'm missing the first tee here in a few minutes, Brother Brock, in the penalty box over there, amen. But listen, this is amazing. You know about fears, phobias. I got a whole list of them. I'm tempted to want to pull them out, but I can't do that. I got to stick to the message here. But I'll just give you one or two of them. There's one, you look the list up sometime. There's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. You name it, there's a whole bunch of phobias out there. It's crazy. One of them is homiliophobia. It's a real word, homiliophobia. It's a fear of sermons. How many of you didn't have those till you came in here this morning? just want to see if you're awake. There's a whole bunch of them. But arithmophobia, my wife is a math teacher, high school math teacher. And it's a fear of numbers. Every seventh and eighth grader says, that's my fear. That's me. It's amazing to get the seventh grader, all of a sudden they can't understand numbers anymore. You know, it's complicated, you know. But this is a real word. Don't look it up during church. Don't play on your phone during church. This is a real word. This is a fear. It's a phobia. It's a real word. You're going to think I'm speaking in tongues, but it's a real word. Hippopotamostrosis quipodelophobia. That's a word. Hippopotamostrosis quipodelophobia. It is the fear of long words. It's true. True story. I'm not making it up. You look it up later. I don't know if I pronounced it all right. I might have got a little edgy in the middle there. Hippo, okay? I love word studies. Did I tell you that already? I love words. Hippopotamostrosis. Quipodelophobia. A fear of long words. I don't know where the quipodelly, I don't know what all that means. It's the extra, I guess, but... You know, and by the way, I'm being a little bit light on purpose, but the reality is fears are very real.
Yeah.
They're very real. And I'm not making fun of them, and I'm being a little bit light on purpose. But to say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ addressed this many times with the disciples. And all through the Bible, we have just like that, where whatever it might be, whether it's our circumstances, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the last one here in a moment, But do not let your fears, don't let your paranoias, don't let your phobias rob you of your courage. Do you understand that the word encourage and discourage, the root, of course, is the word courage? You know, the Bible says that David and the wives were taken to Ziklag, and David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Right.
The Bible speaks also in the Old Testament that they got discouraged in the way. Don't let your circumstances diss your courage. Do you get that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what happens. It happens to every one of us. You're not alone. It's every one of us.
Yeah.
You know, we deal with situations, and it becomes this fear. And by the way, there's, aside from the phobia terminology, there's the fear of the unknown. There's the fear of the known, or what we think is known. There's a fear of failure. Don't you think that that fear knocked on my door when we thought about doing a gospel crusade? I'm not guaranteed anybody's going to show up. I don't know if you're thinking, well, you guys probably, I don't know if anybody's going to show up. I certainly hope the mafia doesn't show up, amen, but I don't know who will or who won't. Don't you think those kind of fears knocked on my door? Sure it did. Still does. That's a lot of money. Then, and how are we going to get all the manpower and this and that? And there's the fear of failure. If I set out to serve the Lord, I might fail. You're only a failure if you quit trying. We would fail. We fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Yep.
Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24.
Yep.
We're all going to fall. The just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying just do whatever you want, then, but you know, there's a fear of failure. If I set out to do something big, if God wants you to do something big, bigger than yourself, that fear is going to knock on your door and say, yeah, boy, you know, you can't teach Sunday school. You couldn't do that for the church. You couldn't do that. Why not? Why not? We're afraid of failure. I did not get into the pastorate because I thought I was successful as a preacher. I did it because it was the will of God. And we all have we face fears. And let's go back to the last one here real quick, and then we're done this morning. Go back to John chapter 16. So I would say to you, don't let your past squelch your courage. Don't let your fears, your paranoias sway your courage. And in John 16, in verse 33, we read the verse together this morning a few moments ago. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. End of Paul's, I'll have to find it. I'm using one of my newer Bibles this morning. I don't have my notes with me. But so give me a second. End of Paul's first missionary journey. Think about this. The Bible says he was meeting with them. It's amazing. The missionary journey is a study, is absolutely incredible. And the Bible says he was meeting with them and preached the gospel in that city, taught them. You don't have to necessarily turn here, but I'm in Acts 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Don't let your problems stop your courage. Listen, you don't think it's good news, but I'm here to share some good news with you. If you are a follower of Christ, you are going to suffer tribulation while you're here. Jesus said you would. Paul was saying it to the early churches. He was teaching them in discipleship. He said, folks, let me tell you something. It's not going to be easy. And I know, and I'm tying in again with Providence. I know, I told the preacher, they're not going to be sitting there with pom-poms or glad that we're coming into the city. They don't want to hear that there's victory over their sin. They want to hear about victory and still live in their sin.
Right.
That's what they want. That's what our flesh wants. We're not going in there to win a popularity contest. And you will face tribulation while you're here. You will. Because Jesus said so. How's that encouraging, preacher? Because Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Right.
Because I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
And church, there is not a thing you will go through in your life where you might say, my mom and dad don't understand, my preacher don't understand, my best friend don't understand, but you'll never be able to say that Jesus doesn't understand.
Amen.
Never. And it is going to get hard sometimes. And sometimes you're going to feel like you are drowning. Been there? Have you been there? Yes, you probably have. And so have I. And it is overwhelming. If I just sat around and just thought about my circumstances, it would absolutely plow me over. I think sometimes people look at preachers and say, "Boy, I wish I had it like them, man. They got nothing wrong going on."
Yeah.
And it's not about me, and I'm not going to trade my problems with you. Yay or nay, good, bad, or ugly, okay? Well, we can talk about it afterwards, and if yours are less, I'll trade you. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, you know? But reality is I think people look at some Christian, "Boy, I wish I had it like so-and-so." They're always happy. They don't have any problems. In the world, ye shall have tribulation.
Right.
And listen. I'm not doomsday. I believe we can have revival. But as a nation, it's not getting any better. It's not. We have seen such a drastic change just in the last year or two alone. And I'm not conspiracy and all this other kind of stuff. By the way, I spend more time in my Bible than I do Fox News and all that stuff. I'm in the book right here. This is the most up-to-date news you will watch all day, today and tomorrow. No doubt about it. It's so archaic, brother. It's the Bible. It was thousands of years ago. There's nothing more up-to-date and current than this precious book right here. Nothing. And I do watch the news, and I want to be informed. But I'd rather get more informed from this book right here. And we've all read the back of the book, and we win because we're on Jesus' team.
Amen.
He said, "I have overcome the world." The question we've got to ask ourselves is who we are comparing ourselves to. I wish I had like so-and-so. Don't compare yourself. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise.
That's right.
Your measuring stick, the rest of your breathing life ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. And my friend, you then are putting yourself on a journey for the rest of your living days. Because He did it, and by His grace, we can do it too. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Listen, boy, we just feel sometimes we just get all beat up. Preacher, you don't know my situation. I don't, and if I heard it, I'd commit myself to prayer and do the best I can to carry your burden with you. It's real. There's not a day of my life that I'm not on the phone or visiting with somebody or praying with somebody or talking to somebody that's got a heavy burden.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, preacher, the older I get, the less I understand what people are going through. And the less I find myself saying, "I understand." I don't always understand. I don't have to understand.
Yeah.
But I can point them to the one that does.
Amen.
Take courage this week.
Yeah.
Get yourself out of that bed each morning and say, "Glory to God, I'm breathing.
Yeah.
And my God is awesome, and He's got this thing. It don't matter what it is. Come Hades or high water, it don't matter what it is. I'm on Jesus' side. He overcame everything by His grace. I can overcome everything
right.
That comes in my life." That is not the power of positive thinking. That's Bible. That's not just, "Oh, I feel better now." It's not a feeling. It's a passion of heart because of the great salvation God's given to us that we must take courage this week. Take courage. In my flesh, I'm prone to run from my problems. I hate conflict. I absolutely super hate drama. Can't stand drama. Sell the boat, sell the quad, sell everything on Dramaville. Just get rid of it, amen. I can't stand drama. And I don't like problems. I don't like conflict. But you know what? We gotta keep pressing on. There's too much at stake, folks. Way too much at stake. Because it's all about Him. Be of good cheer. How many of y'all got the message this morning? Okay, it's not everybody. Let's start all over again. Let's pray together, and I'll give it to the preacher. Father, we do love You. Thank You, Lord, for this great church. I feel very much at home. I wouldn't want to say anything, Lord, unkind, disrespectful. Certainly to my friend. This is his church. He's the under-shepherd here. Jesus, it's Your church. We know that, but this is a faithful pastor. I've watched him love people this weekend. I've been pleased. I didn't come here to analyze anything, but I've been so pleased to see him love people. And I really do believe, God, that we're of kindred spirit. Lord, I thank You for His willingness to let me come alongside and serve His people with Him today. I'm humbled and I'm thankful. I don't take it lightly. And Lord, may we lay aside a personality and a charisma or whatever it might be, Lord. It's not about a personality. Help us take these few moments as His pastor leads His church, Lord, to consider the truths we heard, Lord, and simply, Lord, to talk to You for a few moments if we need to during an invitation about what You talk to us about. Lord, please help every person in this room take courage this week. every age, every young person, these young people, these precious teens and young people are going to need to take courage. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be a lost world that's going to try to pull them in their direction. The fools and the scorners are going to pull them into out of wisdom and out of the prudent guide. And Lord, I pray that you'd help every person, every one of us to take courage this week, to stand for you, Lord, to be counted for Christ. What a privilege. We sure do love you, Jesus. Thank you for being our example. We fail so often, but we're so thankful that you're willing to forgive us, pick us back up, and put our feet on the right path again. Again, Lord, bless. Again, continue to bless this great church for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor. Amen.